Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you are new to our show, welcome home. This is the place to be if you're looking to start and grow a profitable coaching, consulting, or services-based business. And the question we are answering today is, how do you go from six to seven figures and build leverage into your business model? For some of you, a service might mean that you are using technology to deliver that service, and that turns your service into a product. And if you're thinking of retiring on that beach in Porto or Santorini, listen up. My guest today is Joy Shulman, former lawyer, now serial entrepreneur, and founder of 99 Walks, and a very good friend who helps hold me accountable for getting my butt out of this chair and taking walks by the beach. And this episode is brought to you by 99 Walks, a fun virtual walking challenge that will empower you to start moving and lead to a happier, healthier lifestyle. And stay tuned to the end because I know Joyce has a very special bonus for you, for our listeners here, to join her and the team in 99 Walks. So welcome, Joyce.
Thank you, Deb. I am always so happy to have the opportunity to hang out with you.
I love talking to you. Our walks on the beach are some of the highlights of my week. We need to just do it more often, and that's my bad.
It's also the weather. You know, around here at 99 Walks, we believe that there's no such thing as bad weather. There's only bad clothing. But I got to tell you, when the sun is shining and it's spring, it is easier to get out the door.
So much easier. So much easier, for sure. So Joyce, we know you have a life after corporate story, or at least a life after lawyering story. Tell us about how you decided to make the leap and start your own business.
So as you say, I started my career as a commercial litigator, corporate lawyer in New York City, working hard, doing the big firm kind of thing. And the truth is, I loved it. A lot of lawyers don't love their work, and I really did. But I have always had this very strong entrepreneurial spirit and drive. And I actually started my first business while I was in law school with my sister, which is a terrible idea. Not starting a business with my sister, that part was great. But you kind of do need to be all in. Mm-hmm. So after, about a decade of practicing law, my husband and I would spend our Sunday nights talking about what we could do to quit our jobs and start our own business. And we had an idea that we thought was brilliant. And the next day we went in, we resigned from our positions, we sold our apartment, we moved to a little tiny house, and we started our first business, which was actually a consumer product, which was really hard.
Oh my gosh. What product was that?
We started a company called the Rover Group, and we were very early in the space of making nutritionally sound treats for dogs. And by the time we exited that company, which makes it sound much fancier than it was, but we were manufacturing 42 different SKUs of dog treats, horse treats, and cat treats.
Oh my God. And you work with your husband, and you worked with your husband in every business that you've launched. Is that right?
Yeah, we've been business partners and life partners for well over two decades.
Joyce, what is that like? Come on, most of us want to, you know, leave for the office and then come home at the end of the day and be with the ones we love. You are with each other 24/7. How do you manage that?
People ask me that all the time, Deb, and it's so interesting because I think people have this perception that we are working together all the time. And honestly, when we first started on this journey, I had in my mind like a big partner desk, right? And he was on one side and I was on the other and we were brainstorming and we were doing it all together. And it is not like that at all. So whatever office space we have worked out of, whether it was our house in those first many years or we've been in three different offices since, invariably our office space is as far apart from each other as it can possibly be in whatever that space is. And while we talk about work often, we have our own roles and responsibilities. We have tremendous respect for one another. I could never do Eric's job, and I don't want to, and I don't think he wants to do my job. So if you have a shared vision and a tremendous amount of respect and a fair bit of patience, it works. At least it works for us.
I think that's beautiful. And it's true. Yeah, if you have respect for each other and a division of labor, then that's a brilliant thing. So what happened after the pet treat business, which I didn't know, by the way, that's like news to me. And we've taken umpteen walks on the beach, and I didn't know that you started in pet treat. So that was a new one for me. What was next?
Well, starting with how the Rover Group ended, it was a disaster. We lost everything. I'm surprised that you and I haven't had this conversation, because we lost the equivalent of two MBA programs. So the proceeds of the sale of our apartment, everything we borrowed from friends and family, it was dark there for a while. And after I went back to practicing law a little bit here and there, Eric did what he could, different projects, different consulting work to kind of keep the lights on. And I guess we just had the entrepreneurial bug, because we started business number two, and that was our first entree into the world of media. So we started with a company in the alternative and out-of-home media space, and we grew that company to about $5 million in revenue. And at that time, I had two young kids, and I was seeing, now this sounds like everybody is going to think this is just super obvious, but 14 years ago, I was watching the rise of these niche e-newsletters. And I was thinking, wow, if you could design content for a very specific, identifiable audience and deliver content that audience really, really needs, you could provide value to the people you're serving, and you could grow a business around that. So that launched us into Macaroni Kid, which is a hyper-local publishing company focused on families. And we worked in that business for about a dozen years.
What made Macaroni Kid so successful? As you look back, what were the great decisions that you and Eric made while you were growing that business?
The biggest part of Macaroni Kid, aside from delivering really localized content to moms who are time stressed, is we had a very unique model where we identified local moms. So we had a local publisher mom in each and every community that we served. And it was her responsibility to gather and curate that genuine local content. And then our job was to really nurture that community of publishers, teach them all the skills that they needed, business skills and publishing skills and editing skills and sales skills, and just really help them build and create their own local businesses. And it was the power of those local publishers and our ability to create a community among them that was 100% Macaroni Kid's secret sauce.
So why did you decide you wanted out of Macaroni Kid? Why had it run its life with you?
Oh, a couple of things. The first is just burnout. So at the end of the day, Macaroni Kid is a digital media company, and that space is very challenging. And we were just tired, honestly. A second piece of it is our kids had aged out. Macaroni Kid is very focused on preschool through grade school age kids. Our kids are a little bit older, so the content and the advertisers and the relationships, we were just not in the same space as our clients and our publishers. And the last is fitness and wellness has always been a tremendous part of who Eric and I are and what our priorities are. And we got going on this idea of figuring out a way to really create community and foster wellness among women. And once the idea took hold, we were just all in, and it was time to let Macaroni Kid go to a new team.
You know, the theme that I keep getting through the stories that you're telling is that you and Eric are really master community builders. And taking an interest area or something that's a high value for the people in your communities and really building a community around that. And my experience too with 99 Walks in the Facebook group and how often people are posting and even the way you guys develop the app, it's really all about connection and community. Would you say that's true?
I would say that is 100% true. We go out to the world and say we are a walking and wellness company and app. But the truth is, the way we talk about this business is always community first, because that's where everything starts. That's what we need the most of, I believe, as a society right now. And that's what fuels any success you have, has to start with building that community, because that's what I believe people are the most hungry for, even if they don't know it.
And what were some of your challenges? Because building a community may look easy on the outside, but I know from the inside how difficult it is to really get people to engage. So are you willing to share some of the lessons learned in building out 99 Walks? And how long ago was that? Is it 2 years old or 3 years old?
We were in beta 2 years ago. And our app has been live and available for, gosh, just 18 months, I think.
Wow. And it's available on iTunes as well as Android devices?
Yeah,
iPhone and Android?
Google Play Store. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great. So what were some of the challenges in building out that community when you were first getting started 2 years ago?
Community is so intangible, but to your point, I have spent my career focused on building community. And it starts with how you talk about your community, and it starts with laying down some ground rules and setting kind of those core values. So 99 Walks has 99 core values, and I would say many of our PAC members, we call them, have spent time with our 99 core values, looking at them, thinking about them. And then you just have to be true to your mission. And sometimes that means responding to people who don't align with your mission with as much grace and kindness as you possibly can, but also making it clear that this is not a place for that kind of conversation or behavior. So we are kindness first. We are creating a community where women support each other and cheer for each other's successes. And the truth is, while it's really tricky and you have to stay clear to your mission, it's not that hard because it is what people want. So you've got to put it first, or at least really high on the list. And honestly, people literally call me every day now and ask, what I need for my business is to build community. And then you start asking them how they spend their time in their business, and fostering community, supporting community, engaging with your community is usually the bottom of the list.
Right. It doesn't come top of mind when you're building a business. You're thinking about, you know, creating your content or getting your talk done or delivering on your value proposition. So for me in my business, community is a big piece of it. Now, the way I've been able to generate community is through weekly Zoom sessions. And I think there are so many things that you said that I want to highlight for our listeners. One was, develop your core values. You know, your core values are what people will resonate with. And number two is name your tribe, right? So your tribe is the pack. And that makes sense because it creates this image of dogs travel in packs. You know, it's all about getting along with others and going this journey together. And then staying true to your mission, right? And calling in the outliers. But you're absolutely right. The desire to create community isn't always top of mind on all entrepreneurs' lists. And if you're a coach or a consultant, creating community and various communities is so important to the livelihood and the success and the fuel of your business.
I just want to add one thought to that, kind of going back to something that I know is really critical to your teachings, is around the idea of creating leverage, finding those leverage points. Mm-hmm. And it's in that place where the creation of meaningful community is critical, because if you do it right, what happens then is your community starts to create leverage. And you don't have to answer every question because your community is going to answer it. And you don't have to be the only person supporting your clients. They're going to start supporting one another. And in my view, even though it feels kind of squishy and intangible, creating community in a meaningful way is one of the very best ways to create leverage in your business.
You know, no one has ever said that before, Joyce, and it is 100% true. Because what I've found is in the Launch Lab, people connect outside of office hours. You know, they're supporting each other along the way. And that's such a beautiful thing. And you're absolutely right. That builds in leverage to your business. I was thinking of, you know, well, you have an app and you have, you know, you have this online community and that's leverage in your business. But you're absolutely right. The community itself brings in leverage. So I'd like to talk about the process of building out an app. I know some of the people in my circles are thinking about building out apps to solve various problems or to bring various communities together and to provide that community with something that they need. What were some of the challenges that you faced around developing the technology piece of this business?
That's a really tough question, Deb. And the reason for that is that we were not able in the building of the 99 Walks app to leverage anything that existed. So we were starting really with a blank slate. Now, my suspicion is, not knowing the space at all, but that for many of your listeners, there are platforms out there and there is code out there that can be leveraged and put to work. So my experience of literally spending hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of years, I think if I share the details and the challenges that I faced, it might scare everybody off. And
no one would want to do it, right?
Nobody would want to do it. So my advice around this is, number one, work with the very best people you can afford. This is not a place to skimp because you will pay for it in the end. So that's starting with the best people you can possibly afford. And the second is, so my analogy really is building a home. And that's the best analogy to building an app that I can come up with. And that's been my experience. So you're not going to skimp on the guy who's pouring the foundation of your house. That is not a place to skimp. Like building a physical building, our home, it's going to take longer and cost more than you think it's going to, for sure. And the last piece, and this I had to learn, this applies to web development, but app development as well, is it's never done. I thought you built it and it's done. Mm-hmm. So as you're budgeting and you're thinking about the long term of the care and feeding of your app, be sure that you have factored in sufficient budget to keep it going and keep it fresh. And then there are going to be things that come along that you don't anticipate, like iOS updates their operating system, doesn't tell anyone, and it causes 30% of the features on your app to fail until your team goes in and brings it up to speed. So if you're going to get into this place of building an app, just understand it is an ongoing, lifelong commitment.
That's really great advice. And my friends, you just got an inside peek into what building an app is like, and that was really gold. Thank you, Joyce. Let's talk about what's going well with 99 Walks. We were taking a walk the other day. I know you have tens of thousands of subscribers at this point. Is that right?
That is right.
What's been the biggest reward of this journey the last couple of years?
Hands down, it's the feedback that I and the team receives every single day from our community. Because the audience that we are talking to in 99 Walks, the pack at 99 Walks, are predominantly women. And there are a lot of women in our group, in our pack, who really have been overlooked by mainstream industrial fitness. And I think that we've done our society such a tremendous disservice by positioning, using air quotes, fitness as something that's very hard and very challenging, and you have to look a certain way and you have to do a certain thing in order to believe that fitness is for you, that exercise is for you. And truly, we are just dismantling those assumptions. And when you connect with a woman who has been fed that line of garbage for so many years and how that's impacted how she sees herself and feels about herself, and she realizes that there is another way, that she is born to move, that she can walk down her street and then walk down the block and then walk around the neighborhood and then go hiking for 3 miles, it's so incredibly empowering and life-changing for literally thousands and thousands of members of our pack. And for me, that's what it's all about. It's about those individual experiences.
It is so powerful. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it is. It's so daunting when you think about downloading one of these apps from your phone and it's a 45-minute high-intensity workout. And especially if you're out of shape or you've got the COVID-19 or 20 or 30 that you need to get rid of, it's so easy to open up the front door, lace up your sneakers and go out there and take a walk. It doesn't take anything. And I love, too, the premise and the mission about creating relationships and walking with a girlfriend and walking and talking. You know, you can work out so much and make so many connections in this otherwise fairly isolated world the last 12 months, last 14 months for sure. Tell us, Joyce, where do you see 99 Walks going? What's the future?
We are on a mission to get 1 million women walking. And that's where we're going. That's where we're going. More features, improving the app, building the community, building those connections, leveling up. We offer daily fitness classes, walking meditations. We have a new fitness director who is amazing, and she's working with our coaches to just keep leveling it up, being sure that we have something appropriate for everyone in our pack, and continuing to improve. The theme, I haven't shared this anywhere, but our internal theme for 2021 is level it up. So we are looking at every aspect of what we do bit by bit and saying, okay, this is an 8. How do we make it an 11?
That's amazing. I love, and of course, every time I say something, I think of a theme song. And if I could only sing, it would be worthwhile, but I can't carry a tune. But I love that song, Level Up by Sierra. I think it's a great walking song. It's a great workout song. It's a great empowering song. So I love that theme of Level It Up. So let's talk about how our listeners can get involved. How can our listeners be part of that 1 million women who are getting out there and walking? Where do we sign up?
We would love to have you. So you can find all things 99 Walks at 99walks.fit. Our website was recently redesigned because we leveled it up, and there's a tremendous amount of information and wisdom. If you go into our blog, we share so much of the value and so much of the research and so many mindset kinds of things in there, which is, of course, available to everybody. And for anybody who wants to give 99 Walks a try, check out our pack. I would love to invite all of your listeners to join us for a free month.
That's great. And I think Mary set up a code for us to use, the code DOOVER, DO-OVER, to get your first month free on the website. So www.99walks.fit, F-I-T, and enter the code DOOVER, DO-OVER, and you get 1 month for free.
And Joyce, to walk listeners through the process real quick. So in order to use that code and that invitation, you do have to register on the website, and then you'll be directed to download the app and sign in via the app. The code will not work if you try to sign up initially via the app. So start with our site, and that'll really help introduce you to the pack as well.
Thanks, Joyce. That's such a generous gift. And we'll be posting that on social media too. The link to 99walks.fit will be in the show notes, so you can grab it there. And Joyce, any other words of wisdom to share with those who were just starting out?
Yeah, I've got two. Walking is magic. So for those of you who have been a little sedentary over the course of the last year, there are no rules. There is no minimum distance. There is no minimum time. Just go take a walk like today and feel how that can help shift your mind, your mood, and your body. For those working to level up your business, spend a little bit of time thinking about the community and where the leverage points are in the community, meaning, and leverage makes it sound almost sound like you're using them, and I don't mean it in that way. Think about how you can empower your community to empower one another.
That's a beautiful, beautiful way to end our conversation today, is empower your community to empower each other. And that brings additional value, I guess, in this sense, we're using leverage as value. It does take some of the pressure off you. You're not the only one feeding the group or feeding the community, but they're actually feeding each other. So Joyce, this has been so much fun. Thank you for joining Life After Corporate today.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for now, my friend. Until next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.